Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, Pod Shots. Welcome to another episode of Pod Shots. I am your host, a very tired Eric Williams. For this episode, in conjunction with our month of horror, we are discussing the 2014 film, The Taking of Deborah Logan. The film was written, directed, and edited by Adam Robitel and stars Jill Larson, Ann Ramsey, and Michelle Eng. Here to discuss the film with me is returning guest, Miss Annell Strauss.
Hello.
Before getting into our discussion, I would like to mention that this podcast is brought to you by the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of the other shows that are over there. And we should mention that this podcast is also brought to you by audible.com. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast. And choose from over 180,000 audio programs, download a title free, and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and get started today. All right, Strauss. Since it is Halloween time-ish, the month of October, and one of us is basic, I won't say which.
Oh, that was going to be my line.
Let's talk about what we're drinking. Well, that's what happens when we ad-lib.
I was going to say, without telling you, that obviously I'm a basic bitch, and I have some pumpkin creamer in my coffee, because I can't stay awake, and I'm also drinking a pumpkin beer, and I have a pumpkin candle on, and I'm wearing leggings, so all the fucking things to make me a basic white bitch. But I can't pronounce this. Okay, English major, what is this?
Weyerbacher.
Weyerbacher Imperial Pumpkin Ale. Super good. It's got pumpkin spices, cinnamon, nutmeg, chardamom, and cloves.
Sounds good. I am also going with the pumpkin-themed brew. It's from the Lakefront Brewing Company in Milwaukee. And it just says pumpkin on the front in big letters. It is a lager brewed with real pumpkin and spices. And it's not my favorite, if I'm being honest.
Well, that's a basic bitch right there.
Yeah.
Just says pumpkin.
Just says pumpkin. Super basic. Okay, so those are our drinks. That is us talking about being basic bitches. With that, I think we're ready to kick off our discussion of the 2014 film, The Taking of Deborah Logan.
73 Apple, take one, Mark.
The story of Alzheimer's is never about one person. My PhD thief... I'm gonna start again.
You want to keep the house? You need to sacrifice.
You talk to me about sacrifice?
Hey. They want to make a movie about me.
Yes, right?
Oh, I used to know the name of this bird. Hell's bells. I don't know.
It's a bird.
I thought of it like the bluebird of happiness.
We will live and document our subject's physical and mental degradation over the course of 2 one-month periods.
We're going to have fun, right?
Yeah.
OK.
Okay, good. I'm not interested in being exploited.
Sarah mentioned that Deb's been sleepwalking pretty bad. So let's set up surveillance cams.
You really gave us all quite a fright with your late night gardening.
This is not normal sleepwalking. You should come see this. It's not good, Doc.
The teen girls were each found with serpentine carvings on their foreheads. Parts of their bodies had been cannibalized, and traces of rattlesnake venom were found in their blood.
Do you remember a man named Henri Desjardins? Went missing 30 years ago.
I tried to wash you in the river, you know.
A lot can become festering dyke.
That woman is crazy.
The notion of spiritual parasites does exist.
Okay.
And the IMDb plot synopsis is as follows. What starts as a poignant medical documentary about Deborah Logan's descent into Alzheimer's disease and her daughter's struggles as a caregiver degenerates into a maddening portrayal of dementia at its most frightening. As hair-raising events begin to plague the family and crew, and unspeakable malevolence threatens to tear the very fabric of sanity from them all. Dun dun dun.
We should have some scary music.
We should have some sort of scary music. So, Strauss, if I can tear you away from your phone while we're recording, why don't you tell me a little bit about what you thought of this movie?
Well, I thought it was really freaking scary.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was in the mood. We're in a new house. We had the sound system hooked up just right. It was all dark. I was a little bit sleepy. It was just all the perfect things to make me really scared. And it did all the things for me. I had my ears plugged. I had the blanket over my head. I was trying to get the cat to lay with me. So it was good.
Yeah, it was quite good. This is one that we kind of came about, not really by chance, but it wasn't one that we had planned on doing, really. It was just kind of, I had it on my list, my list, and we had thought about doing different horror films, and I knew that I wanted the Podshot episode this week to be horror-based. And, you know, with the sort of items that Anel had already talked about with the new house and the new, or our surround system and being able to turn it up loud and not have to worry about
the neighbor coming down.
Yeah, the apartment neighbors and such. You know, we just kind of took a swing and hoped for the best. And this was one where the poster, the minutia around all of the, around the description and the pictures that come up with the Netflix description were all ones that seemed scary enough.
Yeah.
Right? Like the old lady, you know, Jill Larson, who plays Deborah Logan, she looks pretty freaking creepy.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, well, let's see what this is about. You know, it's about old people, which we just got done with that theme of movies about old people, and now we are transitioning into our new theme of return to horror movies. So,
well, what's funny is, like, saying that I was in the mood to be scared, but I wasn't in the mood to, like, watch a scary movie. Like, it was kind of one of those things where it's like, well, we need to watch this, we need to get a show out. It's like, all right. And so it was like a pleasant surprise to have all these things make it super scary when I wasn't quite ready to be scared.
Yeah, maybe that's a trick for us, because
when we're
looking to be scared,
we're like, oh, that was shit.
Yeah, for our next episode that'll be out next week. It doesn't always work out that great.
No.
So
it's like when you least expect it, you can find a good movie.
Yeah, it's not really tipping our hand, Cameron, but there were maybe some movies that we liked better than the ones that we'll be doing next week.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into the actual film. Okay, so the movie is about Alzheimer's and the sort of descent that this woman falls into, and this documentary crew is there, and they are documenting, I guess, her descent into not knowing who she is and what she's doing and those sorts of things. And so, like I said, I like that it's really interested in exploring those sort of relationships, and we get to know who the characters are for a change. Some of the other horror movies that are more concerned with gore or shock aren't really concerned with who the people are. Mm-hmm. And I like that they do take the time to do that, because if they don't, I don't feel like you have much of a movie.
Right.
Because you have to, you have to care about the old lady and her daughter, mm-hmm. her lesbian daughter, and her sort of, like their collective family struggles.
Yeah.
Are all things that you need to care about. And one of the things that we should say is what this film does is it has a nice blend of all types of horror. There are some things that are very gross. Mm-hmm. There are some things that are very supernatural based.
And jumpy.
There are things that make you jump. There are things that made me go, oh shit, several times. Fuck!
Whoa, what's your quote? This is fucking freaking me out.
This is fucking freaking me out.
Write that down.
Yeah. So I obviously really enjoyed it in that respect, and I felt like it did succeed in its attempt to do all of the things, right? If we're being basic. And it just does all of the things that you want a good horror film to do. It does have a silly plot that gets even sillier towards the end of the film. Mm-hmm. And it's a thing where, at that point in the movie, do I care that they're doing all of these unnecessary things? Not really. Because I'm like, all right, well, we're in a horror movie, and I'm just going along with it, and it's fine, and
right.
I'm just having a good time.
These girls are walking up this hill in the pitch dark. You know, those are the obvious things that you don't do, but they made it believable.
Sure. What did you have written down there?
Well, at first, our old lady, you think that she's has dementia or Alzheimer's, but she starts peeling off her own skin.
Yes.
And that was really creeping me out. Like, she's just, like, scratching her neck and then literally takes a whole chunk of her skin off.
Mm-hmm. She's got that weak old lady skin.
That's true. That's true. It's kind of wavy, but it's still, like, when you pull an old lady's skin, it has a little bit of elasticity. Like, it stretches.
Sure.
Hers just came straight off. And, yeah, that was really gross.
Well, and she does that a few times because later she's getting out of her restraints.
And she just peels her skin off and pulls it right off. Yeah, like, no big deal.
She just pulls one part off like a glove and is just like, oh, yeah, I'm out.
It was like a glove. That's disgusting. Gross. Yeah.
It was disgusting.
I'm sure when they made the movie, they put, like, tan gloves on.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah.
I don't know if you know this, Strauss, but that wasn't real, so she wasn't actually pulling her neck skin off. And
really? Really? I didn't know. Oh, and a couple of my notes are like, damn, that's a fast old lady. Because she's like, at first when they're filming her in her house, they have security cameras up, and you see her, like, wandering through at night, and she's just, like, getting around really quick. She'll just be in one room and then be in another room, and then the camera will zoom up and there she is, and that's the jumpy part. And so you have to watch this movie super loud to get the full effect, and then she's like right in your face. And so you get like the person behind the camera with the, and then you get the shock of her being there.
Of the sound.
Yeah, so it's great.
Yeah, they do have several of those sort of techniques. They also use some fun editing, which is why I mentioned that Adam Robitel is also the editor as well as the writer and director. And this is his first feature film, and I think he's off to a really good start. I couldn't have been more pleased with the way things were done, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was interesting how he edits certain things. Like, we've seen a lot of, you know, Paranormal Activity type stuff where you have
them running with the camera.
And the sort of time, something's being videotaped, and we have, you know, it fast forwards and you see someone sleeping, etc. Mm-hmm. Here we have some of those similar things where it's like, oh, hey, look what we caught on camera. And they show them, and it's her standing in the kitchen, and then the next frame is her standing on top of the kitchen counter.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, there's no time missing. Like, look, the timestamp goes from one to the other. And shit like that, to where I'm like, oh, you know, obviously it's a film trick, you know, clearly. But it was just disconcerting enough to watch. You're like, ooh, no, it doesn't look right.
And they made it, like, more real because they showed everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, they showed her daughter, because she levitates onto the counter. So they show her daughter. They show the doctors. So they're, like, taking all this information, instead of, like, usually in those Paranormal Activities, just them keeping it to themselves, or it's, like, the little kids are just like, oh, look what I saw. And the dad's like, oh, you guys are stupid. Like, you did that on your own. They're, like, taking it to doctors and, like, making it a real thing and making it more believable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say somebody this day and age would be like, look at how crazy this is, and then post it online or something. Like,
sure, sure.
They're just making it feel more real, instead of just like, oh, yeah, we saw this, and then we're not going to do anything about it.
Yeah, it reminded me a little bit of The Last Exorcism, which was a faux documentary of a guy who would do exorcisms and showed how he did the tricks behind them.
Yeah.
And then he came up to, like, an actual woman that needed to have an exorcism.
Yeah, wasn't she, like, floating in the air?
I forget the details. I know that I talked to Cameron and Dave Acampo, I believe, on a weekly, one that we did maybe 2 years ago by now, I guess. But
I know I did talk
about that one, and I liked how it was a nice blend of things that were real or could happen, and then you're unbelievable.
That's how I felt this was. Mm. Like, the film crew, like, they had this cliche, you know, they had the black guy, they had an Asian girl, they had the white guy, you know, so they had a good mix of everybody's cliche characters.
Uh-huh.
And the black guy didn't die. And I was really happy about that.
Spoilers, by the way.
Spoilers, sorry. I was like, yes, he made it. Because they would send him, I can't remember his name, but he usually had the camera, so he had the light. So they sent him up the stairs most often, because they were like, because he's the guy.
Yeah, go up there, guy.
Go up there, guy.
And he's like, oh, fuck this. He's fucking like, white fuck people. This.
Yeah, he did say that. He was like, fucking white people. So he goes up there, and I'm like, well, thinking to myself, like,
this,
he's going to die first.
Homeboy is about to get it.
He made it. He made it out, and so that was really nice.
And what's funny, too, is he wasn't even at the climactic scene. They just said, all right, fuck off.
Yeah.
He's like, peace.
Yeah.
See ya.
But I don't know. It was just, it was nice the way the film crew, because they had these cliche funny parts that was like, oh, you know, this is what makes this is kind of like a dumb horror movie. But then other parts, it was a lot better.
Yeah, I like that. Did you recognize the daughter, the lesbian daughter?
She aged a lot since I've seen her from.
She's kind of one of those ladies who's been in more than a few things, but isn't exactly that recognizable.
Well, in this movie, she definitely looked like the alcoholic daughter that they were trying to get her to be.
Mm-hmm.
Huge bags under her eyes. But where is she from? Because Yes, she did look... What?
I'll have to look that up, dear.
Oh, okay. I was like, why are you looking at me like that? Like, I thought you asked for a reason.
Well, I guess the reason that I brought it up was that she's the only actress that would be considered recognizable.
Uh-huh.
But she's still enough of an unknown to where she's not a household name.
Okay.
So I feel like if she was... she was the friend in Mad About You. She was... Do you know that TV show?
Yeah. What? I mean, that's... Like, she looked...
And she was also in A League of Their Own. Tom Hanks and Madonna.
Yes. Okay. It's like she looked like she's been in something, but it's like, well...
Yeah, she's been around. I mean, you know, she's...
And it looks like she's been around.
Yeah. And that was one of the things that I thought was... that verged on painful in a good way, I guess, is that watching her attempt to take care of this woman, this old woman...
It seemed very real.
It made me think of this is something I don't ever want to deal with.
Well, and the majority of us our age are going to be dealing with that with our parents. Like, and it's already happening now. Like, mm-hmm. also, I mean, not this craziness, like a demon coming into you, but Alzheimer's and dementia is such a big thing right now, or it is a thing, and it's going to keep happening, that she just was dealing with it with drinking, and it was a very good description of, or depiction of how hard it can be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she had to move in with her mother, and the film crew was even like, well, so-and-so is dealing with it in her own way, and she's pouring straight vodka.
Yeah, she's got her vodka flask.
Yeah, and she had, like, a vodka bottle in her nightstand.
Uh-huh.
But...
Although she didn't seem to be that drunk. Like, she wasn't, no. She wasn't ever really that self-destructive.
And she was still able to, like... I was just waiting for her to be passed out and the film crew, like, running around trying uh-huh. to deal with the mom. But she was always there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think they were just trying to allude to...
Yeah, about how she was struggling. Was. Yeah. Sure. I think that that could have been an effective scene if they had... Where they were trying to locate the mom and she wouldn't and she listen like, or respond because the daughter was passed out or something. Or
yeah. Could have been.
Something. Because it just kind of seemed a little bit like of a throwaway of, oh, let's give her some kind of a abuse problem too.
You know? Yeah, that's true. Because she seemed pretty credible.
Yeah, she did. She was with it.
To the end.
Yeah, she definitely was. So, yeah, I really like the way that the daughter is portrayed, and I think that they did make a smart choice because, you know, if they picked someone around her same age but a little more famous, like a Helen Hunt or something, going with Mad About You.
Which I just saw a picture of her aging, and she looks horrible.
Mm. Little,
Anyway,
little
side
rough,
note.
A little rough. So, if they would have picked someone a little more recognizable, that would have... been hard for me because it would have been tougher for me to be like, okay, I'm in this world of this is supposed to be real. And one of the things that I thought was highly effective that the film does do is it shows you part of the film that this crew is making, you know, to where it's like Alzheimer's is a blah blah blah,
and yeah, it shows you the little documentary thing.
Yeah, it shows you the little cutaways of a map of the brain and all of this, and how Alzheimer's affects the brain, and, you know, little informative cuts that you would see in a pretty bland documentary.
Like
a school documentary.
Like I see in my psychology classes.
Mm-hmm. What else do you have on your list of things there, Strauss?
Just, like, jumpy and creepy, and... I don't know, I had a lot of statements from, like, specific scenes, and now just talking about it in general, it doesn't really make sense. One of the things was what was nice is they kept going back to the doctor and being like, we should run more tests, we should mm-hmm. see what's going on. It wasn't, I mean, at first I was wondering why they were keeping her at home for so long, but they were trying to prolong, like, putting her in a place.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets creepier and creepier, and finally they really get the doctors involved. They get her to the hospital, which is great, And then the film crew hides cameras in there.
Oh, right, yeah.
And so one of the things that I was saying is there's no way that they would let anyone put cameras in a hospital, but obviously they probably hid them
without
telling them.
I think, what was it? What did I say? Something like, come on, it's a movie, like, relax about that or something like that.
Right.
It was something along those lines. Yeah. Like, of course they wouldn't really let them, but, you know, and it was a thing where it's funny for me to say that to you because usually it's the opposite where it's like, what? But I think I was invested enough in the film at that point to where I was like, no, this is like, who cares about that? You know, this is this is good.
Yeah.
You know, and I was trying to stick up for it apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, in that same scene where they're in the hospital, there's a neighbor, which at some point the daughter says is her dad. So I don't understand if maybe
yeah, they do say
they were
that.
Like separated and living in different houses.
I think they just slept together and that was it. That was okay. My impression.
Well, anyway, the daughter calls her dad at the very end, but in the whole movie they're alluding to that he's just a neighbor.
Uh-huh.
So
a longtime friend.
Yeah, well, so whatever he is, his name's Harris. Mm-hmm. And so I have fucking Harris written down because he comes in later on and he takes her out of her restraints. And I'm like, fucking Harris. You know, like, of course this guy is going to let her go. And then a lot of drama happens after that, but...
Well, he also tries to suffocate her at one point.
Right, because I think he realizes that she's going crazy. You know?
Yeah. I think my dad's going crazy. So, he is... That character is a little problematic because he's just the neighbor. He's pretty bland. He's just the help out, no matter why, kind of a guy. And then as we go on, he starts shooting at the crew. Mm-hmm. He starts letting her loose. And then he tries to kill her. And, you know, then it's the daughter's dad. And we're like, what in the fuck? This guy is just like a insert male role for each scene kind of a character.
That's true. But I was just thinking, like, you know, she needed a sidekick for, I don't know how much spoilers that we do.
But... Yeah, we'll go for full spoilers from here on out. So if you haven't seen it and you are intrigued maybe by what we've talked about, we're going to talk about kind of the end and what happens and all of the major details. So this is your warning.
Like if it weren't for him, she wouldn't have been able to get away with
her killing the pedophile.
Right. And so I was thinking about this and then I was like, well, the story actually does have a pretty good plot too. That's why I like it more so than other horror movies, because there's like a twisty plot where it's got that like serial killer vibe to it. Mm-hmm. Like who knows who did what, kind of detective kind of vibe. But then it has all those other elements that we talked about in the beginning, too.
Uh-huh.
And so that made it more interesting. Like, you're intrigued to figure out who did what and who's buried where and why she's stealing children.
Right.
And then there's a
demon.
What
the fuck is she stabbing the ground with her long-ass fingers for?
There's a demon involved. There's jumpiness. And it's just all around, like, the perfect cocktail of horror movies.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was crazy, and I don't know, this was something that I thought was going to happen and ended up not happening. But at the beginning, when we first find out about this, was he like a reverend or what was he? This pedophile guy. The killer. That
he was
turns
a doctor.
The doctor, right.
The town doctor.
I just assumed he was a reverend, apparently.
Oh, sure.
You know how that happens?
Yeah.
So... Pedophile, I hear reverend.
Oh, whatever. God.
But anyway, so, right? So you,
oh, no.
You find out that he has this old-ass tradition, and he's going to have eternal life by recreating this ritual, and yada, 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 movie jumbo, mumbo jumbo.
Yeah.
and
serpents
and he's got to be
virgins.
Marked on the forehead and all of this.
Yes, of the virgins.
Uh huh. And so, what I was thinking was towards the end of the movie, the old lady kidnaps this little girl mm-hmm. from the hospital, and they go up there, and the movie is pointing to the fact that they're going to use this little girl, and that's going to make the fifth one, and all this stuff. Well, I kept thinking, what if the reason that they made the daughter a lesbian was because it wasn't a traditional way to lose her virginity, and that the daughter who was the original person that was supposed to complete...
Because she got sent off to boarding school.
Right, the mom sent her off and killed after she killed the guy, I think is how
or before.
Yeah, it was one or the other.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I felt like, well, wouldn't that be interesting if the little girl is just a ruse to get her there, and that's who they actually want.
Okay.
Because in the traditional Christian sense, Old Testament style, to where she may not have technically lost her virginity according to that specific belief, was where I was going.
Okay.
And so I was like, oh no, this is all trapped. She's fucked. You know, and all of this.
Yeah.
And
then you see her sucking on the child's head.
And it doesn't pan out to anything. All of that was just like, oh no, they were really there for the little girl. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why the fuck is she the original person? Oh, just because so Deborah Logan would kill the guy. All right. Why the fuck is she a lesbian? I don't know.
Yeah.
For equality, I guess.
Well, and because she needed the woman cop's help.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's another thing. In a lot of movies, people will try to go seek help, and then the cops will think they're crazy.
Yeah,
and
the cops won't believe them, sure. Yeah.
Like, yeah. I can't think of one right now, but... So she has this advantage because she's had a relationship with this one lady cop. She's like, come on, you gotta believe me. And then they actually believe him. So it's like bending these, like, norms that horror movies have. Mm-hmm. And it's doing the things you want them to do. Like, yes, the cops are on board.
Yeah. Oh, the doctor's helping them out.
Yeah,
sure.
Like, the doctor's listening. Like, just those kind of like, oh, that makes sense. Those are all the things I'm always yelling at the TV. Right. But then it still had, like, a few things like, why don't you turn the lights on?
Yeah, of course. Well, and then let's go ahead and talk about the ending. You already talked about sucking on the head. So we have a lot of this, like, Blair Witch-looking first-person film crew running around and you can't see what the fuck's going on. And it's not to the point that, like, Blair Witch where it makes you sick or can make you sick.
It's just annoying.
I didn't have any problems with that this time. But so we have that, and finally we find Deborah Logan, and she's all demoned up. And she's like a snake that we keep seeing, has like unhinged her jaw and is basically about to swallow whole this little girl and to digest her like you would if you were a snake and either transfer the demon into the little girl or something like that was going to happen. That is one of the few points in the film where I was like, whoa, what the fuck? Why are we, like, doing such a movie thing right now? Mm-hmm. You know, we were realistic, 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 and then, whoa, holy movie moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Just...
So I don't know what I thought about that.
Yeah, the ending got all kind of... You know, she's trying to do the ritual to set this, like, five, you know...
Mm-hmm.
Children have died, and then there's this eternal life and the demon, whatever. So she's trying to do that, and then the daughter's down there, like, shooting her, and the light's going in and out.
Yep.
So there's just a lot of commotion at the end, and the little girl, you know, finally makes it out, and the mother ends up dying. And it just felt a little... Yes, like, scary movie ending.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was, I don't know if it was really problematic, because otherwise I'm thinking, like, well, how else would you end the movie?
Yeah, it's true.
But, so I wasn't quite in love with that aspect of it. There were some things that were kind of silly, like the, of course, the camera light started not working then for a little bit, mm-hmm. but then it would start working soon after. All she had to do is bang her hand on the camera to get the light to work again.
I did like, excuse me, when they did, they turned the light off and you can look through the camera and they've got like the night vision on. Mm-hmm. I did like those couple scenes down mm-hmm. in the cave. Like, that's where it gets really scary, because if you were to pull it away, you can't see anything. And just imagining that, and then putting your eye to it, and then looking in and seeing green, mm-hmm. that part is just freaky. So yeah. I thought that was good.
Yeah, I thought that there was, you know, a lot of really effective techniques. It does feel a little bit, now that I'm talking about it, it does feel a little bit like they just took bits of everything.
Yeah.
And just put them all together.
Yeah, the more that we're talking about it.
Yeah, it just makes me wonder how much craft there is as a filmmaker. And how much is it just, oh, I like a lot of horror movies and they all do these things. And so I'm just going to put all of them into one movie.
Well, for us, it worked.
Sure.
Because, like, afterwards, I felt like I had done a workout, because I was so tense for mm-hmm. so long mm-hmm. that I was like, we need to watch just a show, because I am jacked up right now. Like, there is no way I'm going to be able to go to sleep, because my brain's on high intensity mode and my body's like, oh my God, I'm cleansing for an hour. Like, I just needed to chill. So that's what you want out of a movie. Mm-hmm. So even if you're like, picking this and that, like, it obviously worked.
Yeah, I would say that it worked. But I would
love to hear someone else's view.
Sure. I would say that I agree that it works. I don't know if concern is the right word, but I wonder how sustainable that is for feature films past this. Mm. For him as a director.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, did you show all of your cards in this one movie? Are you going to now make an action movie where you do the same sort of shit? Where it's all of the action tricks? And
this is his first...
This is his first feature film, yeah.
Okay.
He's done a few short films. But, yeah, this is his first movie. He doesn't have anything announced. But he's obviously done editing and writing, and he's acted in a few things, and just kind of all over the place.
Did you see at all how this movie did?
No, I didn't really look that up. This is one where I don't know that it came out on,
like, it was just, like, made in for theaters. DVD.
I don't know if it was I don't think it was a Netflix exclusive or anything, but I don't believe that this was a...
We were recommended this because we watched The Babadook and we rated it a certain way, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, and it's not a film where it's a big commitment. I mean, it is 90 minutes. So it's not one to where it's like, oh, man, I don't know if I want to take the time for, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it did get nominated for a few things that are scary movie related.
That's a good sign, right?
Like, yeah, like your best actress for... The Fright Meter Awards, that prestigious title, the Fright Meter.
Well, who was the best actress? The daughter?
No, Deborah Logan.
Okay.
The old woman.
Okay.
And then she
was really creepy. Like, she was really skinny.
Mm-hmm. And it was nominated for Best Supporting Actress for Anne Ramsey, the daughter, and for Best Makeup.
Oh.
So... But yeah, I did want to make sure and mention that. The movie does not work if Deborah Logan's character is not solidly performed. Like, the actress has to be perfect for that role.
Yeah.
Because she, at some points, is a southern lady.
Oh, she's so proper.
Mm-hmm.
Wears pearls. You have to tell her please and thank you.
Please and thank you are huge.
yeah, just she's a good woman and plays that part well. And mm-hmm. then when she gets into that creepy zone, like at one point she's playing the piano and just staring.
Oh, ooh, I don't even want to think about it.
Just playing the piano and just staring at you like creepily with her head cocked.
And playing the piano still.
Yeah, so she's gone on the inside, but able to play the piano. So yeah, that was kind of a mind fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So she did really well.
Yeah, it was a really scary movie. It was one of the scarier ones that I've seen in recently. A while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, yeah, watching it in our brand new house, I was like, oh, sweet.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't like,
it's not like our house is creepy, but I just wasn't ready for the creep vibe.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't a film that was house dependent.
You know? Like, if it was like something where, like, it's supposedly that American horror story right now where there's demons coming out of the mattresses, that might be a little different.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, The Strangers, where it's someone that just comes up to your door and knocks on it.
yeah, to bring that up.
That sort of thing where if it was a little more on the realistic side, and it wasn't about demon possession, because that sort of topic makes me go, alright.
Yeah, I actually was speaking to a friend today at work about The Strangers,
mm-hmm.
and I was telling her about this movie that we watched last night, and she was like, oh, I don't watch scary movies. And she's our age, or more closer to my age, and she's like, I just don't watch scary movies because I just don't like being freaked out, and I don't like
going. What a pussy.
Yeah, so... But she's actually not a pussy. Like, she lifts weights and, like...
Oh, that doesn't have anything to do with it.
She could probably kick both of our asses.
That is overcompensation.
Anyway, so we're talking about that, and I was like, well, you know, I guess I could kind of see that, because... And I know I've said this before, like, the first scary movie I watched after I had Anna was The Strangers, and it felt too real, and I wasn't ready to feel those feelings. And... She was like, that's just where I'm at. I just don't like feeling scared, like, in my own home and all that. And I was like, well, I really didn't want to feel that way right away living in this new house. Like, I wanted to have it be sunshine and rainbows forever. But we moved in October, so we fucking just did it.
That's what happens. And that's not true, because outside of Mad Max... We were talking about, oh yeah, let's watch a scary movie and fucking turn that shit up loud. And,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's totally fine. I'm making a big deal and it's not.
Mm.
We have nightlights now in the hallway, so yeah, everything is fine. Nightlights
are big. I mean, it was dark as F.
It was dark as shit in this house.
So that was, if people wanted a peek, because I'm sure they're super interested in hearing about that. But, yeah, it was really fucking dark.
Yeah.
In our house before. So anything else that you wanted to say about Deborah Logan there, Strauss?
It was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
I was pleasantly surprised because I wasn't in the mood, and I got in the mood in a good way.
Now the next step is just to get her to watch a scary movie in our basement.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Shut the front door.
Our basement has little nightlights that go up the stairs that we didn't put in. Mm-hmm. But I was like, brilliant. Because I would be the one that would turn the light off on the bottom and run up the stairs and just be like, ah!
You never know.
Ugh, shut up, babe.
Never know. We could be like the guy in your next that's sleeping in the house.
Yeah, with the pee bottles.
Mm-hmm. That we'll talk about next week.
Anyway, you guys should see this movie.
Yeah, you should see it. You should see it. All right, so closing us up. If you have any comments, suggestions, or movies that you'd like to hear us talk about specifically for Podshots, you can email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow the show over at Twitter under the handle @plainlabelpod, where you could follow me. I'm @ericwilliam79. We also have a Facebook page where you could like the show. Just search for Plain Label Podcast. And if you wanted to help us out a little bit, if you wanted to maybe buy us something for our house that we've maybe mentioned a time or two, you can head over to Amazon.com and search for the wish list called Plain Label Podcast. If you want our personal one, we could probably give that out too. you know.
Oh, like the Christmas wish list.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they love us that much.
That hasn't, you know, that hasn't happened in a little while, but it has happened before. So, if you wanted to search things for the show that Rachel and I had agreed upon
being on there. I may have had some poll.
You may have had a little input, but you could search for the wish list over there called Plain Label Podcast. So I do want to thank Strauss for coming on. In case people were unclear as to what her last name was, I made that abundantly clear during this episode. So I do want to thank her.
I do want to thank her
for coming on once again. She will be back with us next week. If people wanted to hear more from you, where could they find you?
I have a Twitter name.
Annelle Elizabeth.
You won't hear anything, though. But I'm there if you want to talk to me.
If you want to talk at me.
Yeah, if you want to talk at me, I'll talk with you, but I won't say anything to you.
I won't. Yeah, she won't just be talking just to talk.
No, I don't say anything on there. I just creep and look at things.
Just retweet.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week with the first of our movies about horror films. The first of our episodes about horror films. First of something about fucking horror something.
I'm just throwing you off.
Yeah, you definitely are. Okay, bye.